What drives someone to step into a cage knowing they'll be punched in the face repeatedly? Not for money. Most fighters barely scrape by. Not for fame. Most remain unknown outside hardcore circles. The answer lies somewhere deeper, in a place where fear and courage dance together. Sam Sheridan, a Harvard graduate who traded academic robes for boxing gloves, spent years training with the world's most elite fighters to understand this mystery. What he discovered wasn't just about fighting, it was about the human capacity for transformation through suffering. From Olympic wrestling rooms to Thai training camps, from Brazilian jiu-jitsu mats to MMA gyms, one truth emerged: the greatest battles happen between your ears. As legendary coach Greg Jackson puts it, mental toughness isn't something you're born with, it's forged through deliberate, brutal practice. Fighting occupies an uneasy place in society, entertainment that manufactures life and death situations for public consumption, yet it satisfies something primal that nothing else can match. When asked why they fight, many fighters struggle to articulate it, like the tightrope walker who simply said, "There is no why." Fighting appeals to the instinctual part in some people that says, "Fuck it," and charges against impossible odds. Fighters saying they're willing to die in the ring express valuing free will over life itself. They'd rather die than be dominated. Dan Gable's wrestling record reads like fiction. 181 consecutive wins, Olympic gold without surrendering a single point, 21 straight Big Ten titles as a coach. When his sister was murdered during his sophomore year, he channeled grief into wrestling with terrifying intensity. Nearly 40 years after his final college loss, he still says, "That's never over. That goes to my grave with me." Even his Olympic victory disappointed him because he coasted in the final minutes. Gable's genius wasn't teaching technique, it was showing wrestlers what was humanly possible. He studied each athlete individually, pushing different psychological buttons until finding what ignited them. His secret? Expecting more from wrestlers than they expected from themselves. Only 5 or 6 in his career truly embodied the extreme mental toughness he sought, athletes who could compress a week's training into a single practice through sheer intensity. The difference wasn't physical gifts, but what lived between the ears. This obsessive dedication finds its counterpart in professional boxing, where Wildcard Gym sits in a rough Hollywood neighborhood, small but legendary under Freddie Roach's ownership. Despite battling Parkinson's from his boxing days, Freddie moves with surprising crispness when working mitts. His physical awareness extends palpably outward. You sense he sees everything, even with his back turned. Freddie believes fighters are born, not made. Champions need natural athleticism plus years of monastic dedication. The trainer-fighter bond is uniquely intense, built over thousands of hours until they're closer than family. Michael Moorer exemplifies this. After Teddy Atlas used intricate head games to force training, Moorer moved to Freddie, who simply let Michael be Michael. Atlas shaped young men. Freddie treats fighters as professionals. His approach prioritizes connection. My job is to get inside their head. When they have complete trust in you, they'll listen to you in the corner. Freddie discovered fear only after his first knockout. 150 amateur and 27 pro fights into his career, he became cautious, his reckless style compromised. This illustrates the entity versus incremental learning distinction. Fighters who believe in natural talent crumble after defeat, while those who trust hard work keep improving. The strongest indicator of MMA success is quality training partners. The best fighters emerge from top camps where they push each other daily. Mark Delagrotte credits martial arts with keeping him on the right path, while peers ended up either dead or in jail. Training at Thailand's Sitiad Tong camp, he learned from fighters like Jong Sonnen, the Wooden Man, a 2-time Lumpini champion who absorbed punishment without flinching. His philosophy? "I'm really quiet. I'm not mean or an asshole. I listen to my trainer. That's it." Thai fighting's cornerstone is composure, never showing pain or emotion. Australian legend John Wayne Parr explains, "The first lesson I learned is never show any emotion while fighting. And if you want respect from Thai fans, you never give up until the final bell." For Thais, heart matters as much as victory. Fighting through blood and pain earns the coveted compliment, Jai Di, good heart. Thai camps operate like wolf packs with strict hierarchies. This creates fierce loyalty, especially among fighters from poverty. When you have nothing, and then you have a father figure or mentor, and food and training, you become connected to that person. Mark replicates this family atmosphere in his American gym, generating the commitment crucial for implementing fight strategies. In 2003, Marcelo Garcia dominated the ADCC Submission Wrestling World Championship, earning most technical fighter honors. He repeated this in 2005 and 2007, placing second and third in the absolute division against opponents 50 to 70 pounds heavier. His skill shocked accomplished grapplers. Mike Cisnalevich was tapped out within 15 seconds. When asked about his success, Marcelo insisted, "Why do I beat a lot of people? Because I love it so much." The pattern among elite jiu-jitsu practitioners isn't mysterious talent, but fanatical dedication. Ricardo Laborio notes that Brazilian training emphasizes rolling over formal instruction. He admires Rodrigo Minotauro Nogueira's mental fortitude. He doesn't get frustrated when he gets beat up. Frustration can take your stamina, your appetite for winning. Eddie Bravo explained how ego becomes an obstacle. In jiu-jitsu, it feels so bad when you tap. Jiu-jitsu filters out the assholes who can't control their egos. This raises a crucial question. Do great fighters lose their ego, or can one only become great by losing it? Randy Couture's MMA greatness stems from repeated upsets. Wrestling provided two critical advantages: tactical control and mental toughness. After struggling 8 years to make the Olympic team, Randy entered MMA at 33, almost as an afterthought, free from crushing expectations. "Nobody expects you to win. It frees you up to compete," he explains. He'd lost perspective in wrestling, forgetting it was supposed to be fun. Randy frames challenges positively, approaching fights with clinical detachment, seeing technical problems rather than emotional confrontations. His greatest weapon is his brain. Years as an Olympic alternate taught him to scout opponents meticulously and craft detailed game plans. "When I'm done learning, I'm done winning." His Olympic disappointments may have fueled his fighting success more than medals would have. The pinnacle of competition is seeing an opponent break, almost a noise like a stick snapping. Through conditioning and staying one step ahead, he gradually breaks fighters' will. Fighting is fundamentally about identity. You're forced to learn who you are. Greg Jackson, an MMA coach with no fighting record, has produced 10 world champions and maintains the highest winning percentage among trainers. Growing up as the only white kid in the poorest part of the poorest state, he struggled reconciling his Quaker parents' pacifism with harsh realities. Jackson believes mental toughness is learnable through brutal workouts that acclimate fighters to suffering. You do brutal workouts to get used to suffering so that suffering doesn't become a huge defining deal. Jackson's philosophy centers on selflessness and automatic action. When fighters focus on their own pain, they lose focus on their opponent. Fighting should be like walking to the door, automatic, without conscious thought. This state, what Musashi calls the void, happens when fighters stop overthinking. Reaching the zone requires both 10,000 hours of practice and the ability to enter that void state. The fight world offers respect and belonging to those who might not find it elsewhere. Many fighters come from damaged backgrounds. The gym takes everything, including mental pain. Through struggle, fighters burn away hurtful emotions, emerging like an asteroid torched clean in the atmosphere. For those from the howling wilderness of a childhood unloved, fighting offers worth that missing parents never provided, a savage joy that draws them back repeatedly.